Kate.
Hey Gail, how you doing?
Oh, I am so grateful. The dogs are at the vet all day. William's getting that spot off. Yesterday, Mary had her echocardiogram, and the dogs were at the vet all day. It has been wonderful.
Oh my gosh. Well, I see progress behind you.
I've t
I
Melbourne.
saw progress behind you.
What happened is because I caught up with myself yesterday. So today I'm taking all my Christmas stuff downstairs and sorting it because I can't find anything. There's stuff from different years piled together. It needs to be sorted out. And I'm having a good time. And it's a mess. You know, I think 2002 was when I started, so this is my fourth year with her. Two, three, four. Yeah. And I was not shy on buying when stuff was on sale.
Well, that's okay.
One of the things that I'm doing is I'm pulling out stuff that I don't love and I'm going to pass it on.
Good for you. Good
Yeah.
for you.
I don't
That's
need the
great.
energy.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
So you got your miracle. I was so happy to see that.
I did. I did. You know, I've been listening and I've been asking my guides, for guidance and taking in what I'm getting from them. And then I listen and I get validation through other things. And then, some of it just comes down to refusal to give up. But I'm very human and I was pretty stressed off and on last week. So I broke out in shingles. So I've had that to deal with. And that's where the headache came from yesterday. And I slept most of the day.
Good for you. Are you up to today?
Much better today. Much better today. I slept for, I had 2 hour and a half naps, maybe a little longer. But I have one fluff muffin, not two. But there's no sleeping when he's awake. So, and then when I can't go back to sleep, then he lays down and goes to sleep. And I'm like, seriously, no, wake up.
You wake me up, you're gonna be up too.
But he was awesome. I went to sleep right after the call would have started. Well, after I messaged you that the call wasn't going to happen, nobody'd shown up. And I went to sleep. I slept till for an hour and a half then, and we got up and ate and piddled for just a little bit. And I thought, wow, I could sleep some more and slept another hour and a half.
Best thing you could have done.
It was really good. Really good. So how have you been? I know you had a really good day yesterday and today, but
Well, everything caught up with me on Saturday, and my digestive system went on strike. And I even missed church on Sunday. I wasn't sure that it was if it was virus. I did not want to infect anybody because it was miserable. But I think it was just all the anxiety and stress. It's been really intense working through this stuff, and the childhood feeling of not being safe triggered. I had stomach aches all the time. I mean, I could never remember not having a stomach ache, and it came back. And I think it's just like, yeah, this is the trauma. You're working through it. This too shall pass, but it's getting your attention to deal with. And so I slept and slept and slept, and still had some cramping on Sunday. And a little bit of pain yesterday, and twinges of it today, but I'm back to eating pretty much normally. I was on a Real Bland diet there for a couple of days. And then, I had pepperoni on Saturday, so that
Was it
probably pushed
good
me over the edge. I had a piece of pepperoni pizza.
though? I really feel for you because that's where all my stress goes, is my stomach. And well, and it's that energy center, so yeah, I feel for you.
But thinking about it, it's like some of the things that happened in my past make so much sense looking through that lens of not feeling safe. And I've always said, my bedroom just feels like this safe little nest. And Michael would say, "Don't say that, because it sounds like you don't feel safe in the home." And it's like, well, I do, but I don't feel safe in the outside. I didn't realize I don't feel safe in the outside world a lot. I feel safe at church. I feel safe. I felt safe part of the time in the army, but not when there was toxic bosses going on. But it really has colored. And my sister's dealing with so much anxiety, and she's asked me if I would share with her some of the things that my therapist is working on with me. And I don't know, have you ever heard of Dr. Gabor Mate? He is a therapist out of Vancouver, Canada, and he's done a lot of work on adverse childhood effects and how that shapes trauma and how that shapes our behavior. Because the fear of losing attachment means you turn yourself into whatever is going to keep you accepted. So you become a good little girl or a good little boy, and somewhere along the line, your real self comes out, and you think, whose life am I living? So he was on that super conference thing that I was listening to, and then there's a I can't remember his first name. A Richard Stewart, I think, that came up with a theory of parts, where we're all born with parts, but when not in a schizophrenic frame of mind, but just the different parts of us. And then when trauma happens, one of the parts takes over to protect you, and then it gets stuck. And so it might sabotage things because it thinks you're not going to be safe when you risk. So it still thinks you're 6 years old, or however old you were when the trauma happened. So it's been very enlightening. I've just been sitting with it and thinking it and rewatching, and it's very intense, what I've been going through the last couple of weeks. So I think that had a lot to do with my body getting my attention. But I have often in my life had a health challenge. It may have varied, you fix one thing and something else pops up. But that's a manifestation of not feeling safe. One thing, it was how I got attention as a kid. So anyway, it's been very intense.
So with when all that this is going on, have you been aware of your breathing?
Yeah, and I am finding that I naturally am breathing well when this stuff pops up. So I'm really thrilled about that. I won't even be thinking about it, and I'll notice I'm taking deep breaths. So not all the time, but a surprising amount of the time. So I am
Before
doing some self-regulating.
Oh, good. Good. So before you watch, do you have a routine before you watch these things or participate in the videos or the audios?
When I've been rewatching them, I've been at my craft table. But you're
How
talking about centering.
Well, yeah, and taking the deep breaths and setting the intention on what you want to get from the experience, and but m most importantly, grounding and taking the deep breaths. And the reason I ask that, a couple of things. I have a client that who has been trying to talk with her angels for years, and she asks them very specific questions. and she gets answers, and then the answers are not correct. And I asked her the other day if before she speaks with them, does she ground and take those deep breaths and bring the heart and mind back into coherence and into harmony? And she hasn't been doing that. And this, you know, this has been going on for years. So she's going to give that a shot and see how that works out for her. But something that you know, when I do an angel reading, that's the first thing I do is I ground and I connect and I breathe deeply and I move into that harmonious state with them, and I can feel the connection in my body th with a rush of energy. I can feel it. But now when I go to connect by myself, just for me, I don't normally do any of that. I don't do the grounding. I don't t I might take a deep breath, but I don't actively set the intention for that clear communication, getting making sure the heart and the mind is in harmony. And I feel that I don't want to say it's been a mistake, but it could have. I think I could make a better connection. I know
Could
I
have
can
been
make a better
better.
connection
Could have been
all the
better.
time. And because when we ground, when we ground ourselves, we pull our energy back. You know, if we've see, we've given our power away to, I don't know, we got a bill in the mail, or we saw something on the news, or whatever it is. You know, we've given our power away to an energy that was not of the love vibration. And when we ground and we take those deep breaths, we're especially when we do the quiet the mind exercise, or you know, any exercise that you have that raises your vibration, it puts you back into that state of connecting with that essence, you know, with that divinity within. And when we're in that love vibration, we can't be stressed. We can't be anxious. There may, you know, until we clear that out from the background, that's still running back there, but we get closer every time we move into that higher vibration. We get closer and closer and closer to overcoming and rewriting those neural pathways of belief that keep us not feeling safe. And, you know, we also can find that, like last week, I had stress that I didn't fully overcome. You know, it would be like a roller coaster. I'd get there and then I'd let other thoughts come in. But walking magic, I heard something in the woods at the corner over there across the street. And it wasn't a squirrel. You know, and it wasn't a dog because the dog would have run out there. I have one, you know. It wasn't a deer, but I could hear something heavy moving in the woods. Well, that's what the guy across the street said. His little kid said, actually. I wondered about a bear because the bears aren't big. I thought the bears were big here, but they're not. They can be, you know, probably William and Mary size, you
Really?
know, yeah,
Adults?
little, not an adult, but a littler
The
one,
little
you know,
guys.
a young one could be
Yeah.
that size. But anyway, I reached out to the deputy, his wife, and she said that they have seen armadillo in the woods.
Oh.
And I looked at that and I felt that energy and I thought, okay, that's I'm pretty sure that's what it was because of the way the movement was, you know. The sound of the crunching of the leaves. I mean, it could have been something else, but it wasn't something that probably would have been dangerous for us. So that sense of safety came back. But if I had been in a higher vibration before I went outside, it probably would not have unnerved me. I'd have been able to listen more intently and possibly seen, but there's a big thing of vines over that area. So being able to see behind the vines in and the, it's so thick that a good size bear would knock the trees down, the littler trees down, to try to walk through there. It's that dense. But an armadillo wouldn't be doing that, you know. So, but anyway, the point is, before we go outside, before we do anything, you know, being in the vibration that we want to be during the day, and that, you know, that's part of being aware of where we are energetically. And if there's something that's running in the background that just keeps coming forward, that resistance energy of anxiety, why does this keep happening? What am I anxious about? And you know, following that to what I'm anxious about, and why does it make me feel anxious? Why does it not, why don't I feel safe there? And if, you know, if you can trace, how many things can you trace back to the experiences with your brother or with the family as a child? And so many times when we can trace it back to childhood trauma of some kind, then we're able to, well, one, we're observing the energy, so it's going to react differently. It starts to lose its power over us. But if you know where that is, if you can't quite get over that feeling of not being safe, then we have a place to start. But you know, in the what I found with myself and with other clients is that, you know, the more we're in the met, we can move into that meditative state and raise our vibration to that love vibration, that starts to rewrite those neural pathways. So then when things come up, they're not as intense as they were 2 months ago before I started really focusing on this, you know, and overcoming these feelings, because we're starting to rewrite those neural pathways of belief. And the more we can stay in that vibration, once the meditation is over, it just gets more, it gets stronger and more powerful at that overriding of that energy. Did in what you're watching in these programs, are they starting to give you tools to feel safe or to heal not feeling safe?
Some of them are just explaining their theories, 'cause it's like the people who came up with the theories are doing the talks. But there's also one guy's got a thing on the Sedona method, and then in on each day there are meditations and visuals of, you know, like beautiful nature things, creeks and the creeks running and things. So if you take advantage of all of it, then it's there. But and some of, like, they'll do examples. They'll do a session with the host, and you'll see how it works.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And it depends. Yeah, each speaker is a little different. But the three guys that I have been most impressed with are Porges, who does the vagal stuff. Gabor Mate, who does the adult adverse childhood of events, and Richard Swartz, who does the parts. And I had taken another webinar thing where she hit on all three of those, and I didn't really understand what much about it. And now that I've seen these, I'm going to go back and watch the webinar again, because I think it'll make a whole lot more sense.
So when you understand more about how it's all working and it resonates with you, does it feel like the anxiety from the past starts to lose its power, or is it kind of the same?
Well, in that moment, it certainly does. And when anxiety strikes, you know, out of the blue, you know what I've discovered is there's a very fine line between excitement and anxiety. And I'm not always sure which one I'm in, because they're so close.
Wow.
So that's something else to process is what I'm feeling anxiety or excitement?
But excitement is good, right?
But the feeling in my gut is this almost the same. If this is the vet, I have to take it.
Okay.
It is. Hang on.
Okay.
Hello? Okay, everything went well for William. They're going to send it off. It really looked like a sebaceous cyst, so she's not at all worried. 2 stitches. He did great. It was
So
very quick. And that's what the day he chewed it off and I called the vet hotline, they said it won't take long to take care of that. But she also had the echocardiogram results from Mary yesterday, and the numbers sound a little alarming, but anyway, she said, they have lots of dogs on it and they live, it doesn't affect their longevity. So she'll start heart medicine.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, and I just need to watch. I check her respiratory rate when she's like dozing or asleep, and so far it's been fine. So,
Wow. Okay. Awesome. Well, sounds like you got pretty good news.
it's left mitral valve. She said it's a 3 out of 6, which is, seems higher than don't worry about it. But anyway, I don't know what all that means. But she said don't worry about it. So yeah. And our last dog had a heart murmur, and she'd go to the cardiologist every 6 months and didn't impact her life at all. So,
Was the other dog the same breed?
no, not at all.
Oh.
And she was about twice as big, so her lifespan would not have been as long as theirs. She lived to 14,
Oh,
but
wow.
it was cancer. She had one cancer that she beat, and then another one that they held off for a few months, but they knew it was going to be terminal. So she was just barely 14 when she made her transition.
Wow. And William and Mary are 10?
12.
12. Well,
Yeah.
okay.
But their mama was 15, and she never got regular vet care. So if she had any of the conditions they do, like the pancreatitis stuff or the gallbladder debris, it wasn't addressed. So I think she might have lived longer if she had regular veterinary care. But there's no telling. I'm just hopeful. As long as they have a good quality of life, I want them around. I keep remembering that you said William promised Michael he wouldn't leave me. But it may not be in the body and not leave me too.
Yeah, they're tricky like that. Just like when my dad was in op went to open heart surgery, and he kept everybody said he'd be fine, and the first thing he said to me was, "I'm fine," and then he was fine outside of his body. I was like,
Yeah.
"Okay." Yeah, it's a little tricky.
Yeah.
So you were saying that there's a fine line between anxiety and excitement. That's really interesting. To figure that out is huge. When you have you noticed with the anxiety, there's any other feeling in your body, or with the excitement, there it's also in another part of your body to notice a difference between the two?
I haven't actually paid that much attention, but it's that same feeling in my gut, physically. So, I will
Does
I'll
the
make note of
anxiety
that.
feel heavier?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, because I was just trying to think of how it feels when I'm experiencing it. And I think that the energy of the excitement would feel lighter.
Well, maybe I'm feeling anxiety along with with the excitement? I don't know.
Maybe. And then I was thinking, because, I was sitting here thinking that if you were, say, for instance, as a child, if you were excited about something and then your brother did something to put a kibosh on that, a screeching halt to the excitement that flipped right over into anxiety, that I could see where they could be very close together, those feelings. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention about like doing the quiet your mind exercise before you're watching or doing anything that you're wanting to absorb the information, that in itself will help bring the heart and mind into coherence. And if you're in any kind of stress or anxiety to start with, then it will support you to unwrap that energy and help your mind to quiet down so that you can take in information. I've started to do that with all the classes that I teach, is to help everybody to take those deep breaths to start with, ground, calm down, relax into the breath so that the heart and the mind can come into that harmony. Because if we start a class or a program or a webinar, or we're listening to something that we want to take in the information, if we're in any kind of anxiety, then it's like it just goes right on through. It doesn't, none of the information doesn't stick. And
Yeah.
I think that's why a lot of times, people will read a book or they're participating in a class and they're excited and, they get into it and it feels great. And, oh, I want to do this. This is changing my life. And then the class is over or the book is over. And they go right back into doing what they were doing before, and the information hasn't latched on anywhere because they started out in stress and there was really no way for it to stay there, to
So,
build.
and my anxiety gets triggered when I'm watching these things, which is why I'm trying to watch them again. So
Yeah.
that probably helps make or makes it harder to absorb and maintain.
If you notice that you're starting to get anxious while you're watching it, it might be a good thing time to pause and take the deep breaths and re and ground again. And that little exercise of bringing the heart and mind into that coherent state from Deepak Chopra, it's less than 3 minutes. There is a meditation that I put together that's five. I think that includes grounding. I was going to go back and listen to that today and make sure. But if you can stop and get your breathing back under control and get out of the anxiety before continuing, that could
That
make a
makes a lot of
huge,
sense.
yeah, it can make a big difference in being able to take the most you could get from the experience of the audio or the video.
Yeah, and I really have to be careful with social media. Stuff that you wouldn't think is triggering will bring on anxiety. So I'm learning to be more aware of that when it happens, but it's been pretty embedded. I wasn't even aware of it for a long time.
And even if you quiet everything down and get into that higher vibration before you look at social media, if there's something that you like, for instance, you might even experiment with, if you know there's something that's triggering, calm everything down, raise your vibration, and then expose yourself to the trigger and see how your body reacts.
Well, I know that if I'm watching a craft video or I'm watching a sewing video, it's not going to happen. And so I know that there's some safe things, and that's why I generally go to my subscriptions. But if I pay attention to my feed, that's when stuff happens.
So maybe
So,
move into that higher state
yeah.
before you look at the feed as an experiment. Do it at a time that if you get triggered, you're going to have time to pull yourself out of it. Not that, oh, I've got an appointment, I've got to rush out, and then you're in that state of anxiety and you have to go. You don't have the time to address how you're feeling. And that should help you to feel safer as an overall state of being. The more we can stay in that higher vibration, because we can't, it comes with a level of safety. The higher vibration comes with a level of safety. And I have to believe that that's not feeling safe is at the crux of everything. That's money blocks, that's illness in the body, that's being stuck making choices in relationships, that we're always picking the here. I love narcissists. Come right over here. being that narcissist magnet.
Or
Same
you
thing with
pick,
friends.
like in my case, you pick people you think are going to protect you, and then they turn on, then they are their own kind of verbally abusive or whatever. Except for Michael.
Except for Michael. Yeah, you had to have overcome all of that to get to him.
I was in a really, really healthy place when I brought him into my life.
Yeah.
Probably the most centered I've ever been.
And that made you that magnet for him to find you. Yeah. Yeah.
Just at the very end, he mentioned that anxiety had always been his bugaboo, and I had no clue that he felt anxious. He hid it so well.
Wow.
I was
Did
just
he
stunned.
tell you any of the tools that he uses, he that he was using
No, I mean,
to
he was like on his deathbed.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow.
Was a couple days before he. The last couple of days, he was, clearly in the stages of dying, and wasn't interacting normally. So it would have been a couple of days before that, because they were talking about anti-anxiety medication that was available, and
Oh.
yeah, it helped.
Okay.
And
So
in
you're
the
there.
past, I wouldn't, when this kind of thing happened, I would just take a prescription to deal with it. But now I don't want to block it. I want to work with it. And it's not as much fun.
So, did you see your therapist this week? Was that this week or is that next week?
That's next week. It's the second and fourth Tuesday. So when there's
Oh,
five
okay.
Tuesdays, there's a 3 week
Oh,
break.
okay. Okay.
So
Okay.
I don't know if it would have been better to have the extra time to integrate. But anyway, it's what it is. So
Yeah. So, have you what at this point? What helps you the most to, if you're feeling anxious, to change that? What helps you the most?
well, when I notice it, I start taking deep breaths, and that really helps. And it just happened. I could
Okay.
tell I was kind of racing in my in that shock in that the solar plexus area, and I was like, and my therapist said that's actually a natural body response to sigh to do a heavy sigh, deep breath.
Well, that's good.
Body knows to do that.
Okay, so what are some of the other things that you're doing throughout the day to help keep you where you want to be?
Well, I tried a Pandora to put a Pandora station on that is all just the very soothing music, and for some reason my internet was acting up, and then I forgot to go back to it. So I just had the classical station on, which helped, but it's better to have the consistency. And I could do YouTube music, but then they have commercials, so
The commercials are awful
yeah.
on
And
YouTube.
that breaks the concentration. So, but I did a lot of crafting yesterday. It was lovely. But it'll be easier now that I've finished sorting through all my Christmas stuff. The things that are on the shelf are duplicates, and they probably shouldn't be in the active area. But anyway, it would be so nice to be able to take, everything off. Well, when I get new shelves, I'll have to, but take everything off and sort it to begin with, because that's what I did when that row of shelves went in, which was lovely. But I could redo those too.
Is there anything else that's weighing on you right now, or is everything pretty much?
Yeah, the taxes, I just need to get down to them and get them in. And then, the clutter is always reminding me that it's there. But that's the things at church are, I think we resolved enough of the issue with grace that things are going to stay a lot, baseline's going to be a lot smoother. But man, that week was intense. In fact, I think that led up to the digestive system distress.
So how are you feeling about everything now at this point?
More hopeful.
Okay. Awesome.
And I just, because you never know when a dog goes in for surgery, I have just been really appreciating the dogs and, spending time staring in their eyes and holding a paw when I'm reading, and yes, that is so lovely.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about there.
I wish William would get in my lap more. I think I just need to buy a chair that both dogs can get in with me, that's comfortable, instead of trying to read. Anyway, I One more thing that I'm putting off because I don't have the bandwidth or the energy or whatever. So.
I really appreciate that. When I moved a love seat from downstairs, I had somebody move it up here for me so Magic and I could sit over here in these windows, because we were sitting in a little chair, and it just wasn't enough room to be comfortable. And we did that for months. And now we have the love seat, and being able to sit there with him, he has plenty of room to stretch out if he needs to. Usually it's in my lap. It's funny how he'll jump up, move everything out of my out of his way. If I'm writing in my journal, it's gotta go. And plops himself down in my lap and is like, "This is my spot." Whoa, dude. It's so surprising when he does that, but I love it. I
Yeah.
also love it, you know?
There's actually a chair in the bedroom that he can get in my lap on, but it has been covered in stuff that doesn't have a home for months. And Mary can't get up there with us, but he will get in my lap in it. And yeah, that's an impetus to clear out, find homes for the things that are there.
I really want to encourage you to do that, because you do love that interaction.
Yeah.
Sometimes, Patrick will jump up there like that, and I'll go, "Patch, that was really aggressive." And he just kind of like, "It's my spot." This is my spot. I don't know why you're saying it's aggressive. Move that stuff out of the way.
Well, there's a
Yeah.
little love seat in the family room, but it's wicker outdoor furniture. I don't have real comfortable cushions on it. And there's room. Now Mary will get up and sit beside me on it. And sometimes William will jump in my lap, but we don't usually stay settled on it.
Well,
Now
it's got to be a,
The couch in the living room, we do. We just don't spend much time there.
Yeah, it's got to be comfortable for you too, wherever it is. Yeah. That's one of my goals, is to get a love seat that belongs to me to put there, because I've actually had to put pillows underneath the cushions because everything must be broken under there, and it feels like it's not comfortable. But it's someplace we can sit together. So, that's what's important. So, are you doing any journaling?
Yes, I have been doing more. Not a whole lot, but there's been enough stuff popping up that I've been journaling.
I'm hearing my guides are saying, and I'm hearing from other folks about, the ramp up of energy through the end of the year. And it's going to be what we make it. And if we can be grounded, be aware of our energy, and not allow ourselves to be triggered. And if we are triggered, because we're human, if we are triggered, being able to address that right away, and having our action steps and our route, having a routine, but having our action steps to take within moments of having something happen, it's going to make all the difference in the world and how the rest of the year plays out for us individually. I was kind of surprised. Somebody I was listening to this morning, well, my guides have been saying it too, but to hear somebody else saying it is that we have to stop trying to fix things that we have no control over. Fixing other people, fixing things that are beyond our control between other people, trying to keep things from becoming broken. All we can do is inf and it doesn't mean we don't care, but if we can step back and infuse those things with love, and then move on with our life instead of getting entangled in it, whatever it is.
That would have helped with the sniping at church.
We have to, and it's not even picking our battles. It's just that, okay, I have no control over this. And what is that? It's not our circus, and it's not our monkeys. And that sounds a little harsh, but we can still be there if they want help. But being able to draw that line in the sand of the boundary, that's really going to be important in these coming months. Because if we don't draw that line in the sand and adhere to it, then it can be draining, which will pull us right into anxiety.
Makes a lot of sense.
And even if, in maybe in everything that you're working in, I know you've got different w notebooks that you work in, maybe taking a page and writing down what your action steps are. One, you're writing it down, which is good, but then it's something that if you're journaling, or you're making your lists, or whatever it is, you can just flip to that page, put a sticky note on it so it sticks out, and look at it. You're not having to remember, what was that I was trying to do? I don't know about you, but I find myself going, oh man, I know there was something I was doing that could help me with this. What was it?
Yeah, and I actually have planner pages that do that. And I've got some of them printed. I haven't necessarily started using them, but at least I've got some printed. So.
Even if it's just a sticky note on the mirror and you change the color every once in a while, move it around.
Yeah. It's funny. I'll think of things as I'm getting ready for bed. So I have a notepad in there. I'll jot them down and then I can forget them and pick them up again in the morning.
Oh, I do too. It's a steno notebook, and I rip the page out and bring it in here. I got a whole stack of them over here. Here's one right here.
Oh,
Yeah, they wrote the newsletter before I got out of bed this morning, that I just sent out a little bit ago.
cool.
Yeah, we have this opportunity. You know, what are we going to do with it? The more we can stay in that love vibration, the less we're going to be in anxiety and stress and overwhelm.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot that happens around us because everything's still shaking out. But I do believe it's going to all be okay. You know, we're going to get through it and we'll be on the other side, and changes change. It's different. And as humans, you know, a lot of times we don't do well with change. At least how we get there. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this challenging to get there, but you know, if we're comfortable, we don't
Yeah.
change. We don't do anything. So is there anything else that's coming up for you right now that
I am not thinking of anything at the moment.
Okay. So in the next week or so, and I know you said you're going to see your therapist next week, you know, being thinking about the triggers and feeling safe versus not feeling safe, and you know what those situations are and being able to manage them, rewriting those neural pathways of belief, you know, figuring out that the anxiety and excitement are so close. That I think that's going to be a real key for you to move forward with grasping feeling safe. And the breathing is crucial. And I'm so happy to hear that you're being able to, that your body is just doing it as its natural next step when you're feeling anxious. That's huge. That's really good. That's awesome. For you. Are you okay?
Yeah, but that was just a reminder that, yeah. That really helps.
Yeah, and throwing in the grounding too. You know, it takes just seconds for us to ground ourselves. And oh, what did you decide anything to do with the roses?
I'm letting them sit for now.
Okay.
They'll sit fine till next spring. If it needs, you know, they've been in status quo for a number of years.
Okay.
It's just
All
that
right.
there's one I have purchased it twice and it has died and they got it back in stock. And I really want it again because it's an amazing rose, but I really don't know where to put it. And it's like I need to identify a good home for it before I buy another one that isn't going to make it because I'm not take it's not in the right place. So I'm letting that sit for now.
You know, ask your angels to show you and infuse that soil in that area with love.
Yeah.
So I know you've been busy. You probably didn't see what I was talking about in the newsletter, that tomorrow is the 8-8 Lion's Gate of manifesting and, you know, expanding into moving into your spirituality.
And I saw that Rachel had a post too.
And then on Saturday is the full moon. And then on Sunday, Mercury goes direct, which
Oh.
we, of course, we still have, the post shadow. So, but you know, Mercury in retrograde is about peeking into your future. So we've got, and the full moon is illuminating things. So if things come up, you know, just recognize that what it's for, you know, this is just, maybe it's something that it's time to let go of. And, you know, pulling that energy, whatever it is, out into the light to look at it. It illuminates it to the point it can't exist in the light if it's of the darkness and fear. So just being aware of that it could feel like a contraction, I guess. But being aware of that, then we know it's only temporary, and I have tools to use to get through this. But it could be a very exciting time of peeking into the future and what do I really want? And I was watching somebody the other day. I don't know how it popped up in my feed. It wasn't, I don't even do Instagram, but that's what it was on. Anyway, this guy said to ask yourself, what do you no longer want to tolerate? And being on the spiritual path, it's not that I don't want to tolerate somebody else's behavior. It's what do I no longer want to tolerate within myself? Is it going into a tailspin of fear? Is it becoming anxious over something? Is it hanging on to not feeling safe in some way, some unforgiveness that I've got going on? What do I not want to tolerate anymore? And making that conscious decision that I'm done with that. Anyway, okay, so if anything comes up, don't hesitate to reach out. Yesterday was Cindy's birthday.
I sent her a Facebook message.
I thought that she might be there, and that's why I didn't cancel, is because it came up that it was her birthday, and I thought, no, if she's going to be there, I do not want to cancel. But she did not come on, so and I guess she didn't try to come on later either because she didn't say anything, but she would have reached out and said, where is everybody? So anyway, okay, honey. Well, if anything comes up, please don't hesitate to reach out, and sending you lots of love and hope that William does really well when he gets home.
Thank you. I kind of hope they give him some chill, some medication to so that he can stay calm. They
Yeah.
usually do, so.
Well, Mercury's in retrograde, so you might want to follow through and make sure that they do. Ask them before you go so that it's not a delay in picking them up,
Yeah, that's a good thought.
that they give you something just so it doesn't fall through the cracks at their office. Okay, honey. Well, I'll see you next week.
Alrighty, take care. Have a good
You
weekend.
too, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye.